Recently, during a time of personal study, I began to recall a statement that Jesus made during his triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday. He told the crowd, "The stones will cry out." Now, for several days, that statement came back, and I kept working it through my mind, and I began to think about that statement, and I wondered if stones of the Bible could cry out. What would they say? So I found myself going on a rock hunt through the Bible. God uses rocks in the Bible to show significant consequences and occurrences of his faithfulness. The word stone, and I'm going to interchange the word stone and rock during my message this morning, but the word stone is used 218 times in the Bible. Rock hunts can be fun. Many family vacations result in the kids collecting rocks to take home to help remind them of the places that they visited. One word of advice, though. One rock per place, per child, seems to be the best formula. Each of the rocks that the kids collect have a very special meaning to them, and thus it's very hard to limit their choices. There are a lot of things that change in life. People move. Buildings are built. Buildings are torn down. Governments come. Governments go. But the stones do not go anywhere. They just kind of lie around in the same place, waiting for something to happen or for someone to pick them up. I believe many of the stones that witness the events of the Bible are still right where they were when the things that were written about actually happened. They serve as a reminder of days gone by, places seen, and lives changed. Join with me this morning for a journey. A good place to start our rock hunt would be in Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. You don't have to look it up. There we find Jacob settling down for the night. He was running away from his brother after deceiving his father and receiving his blessing. So he grabbed a rock for a pillow, placed it under his head. And that night he had a dream where he saw the stairway to heaven. And he saw angels going up and coming down that stairway. And all of a sudden the Lord spoke to him, telling him that he would carry out the blessings promised to Abraham, his grandfather, through his offspring. When Jacob awoke, he took the stone, he anointed it with oil, and he called the place Bethel. Now, the word Bethel comes from two words, which means house, and Elohim, which means God. And so Bethel means house of God. A few years passed, and seven chapters in Genesis, we find Jacob back at Bethel. By now, he's married to a couple of sisters and started a family. And the Lord told him to go home. Jacob is scared to death, but everything works out. You see, his brother had 14 years to cool off and meets him with a hug. I believe if the stone could talk, it would tell us that our God is a God of second chances. Even though Jacob started out the wrong way, God still blessed him. Isn't it awesome that God can use us despite our imperfections? Boy, do I have a lot of imperfections. Just ask Teresa, she'll be free to tell you. I believe another thing we can learn is that God never leaves us. Jacob met God in his youth, after he made a mistake. God assured him that even though he had made the mistakes, he would still bless him. But it was not going to happen at that moment. Jacob had some growing to do that had to take place. In our lives, when we first accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we think that everything is going to be perfect. And then we realize that there is a lot of growing that has to take place. Life is not as perfect as we thought it was going to be. People have different ideas than we do. The devil steps in and tries and often succeeds in getting us off course. We arrive at a point where we realize that we need to visit Bethel again. We return to the church, we rededicate our lives to the Lord, and we begin to grow again. And I cannot help but think that there might be one of you here today who needs to revisit Bethel. You wandered away from the relationship you once had with the Lord. The next stone that I'm eager to hear speak is found in Exodus 17. The people were having a difficult time believing that God would provide for them. Now, you would think that after the Israelite people saw the Red Sea part and they walked across on dry land and they were free, that they would be happy. You would think that after watching manna fall from to the ground and having quail to eat, the people would be happy. But they were not happy. They continued to whine. This time, they wanted water to drink. Moses prayed to God for guidance. God instructed him to strike the rock, and water would come out. So Moses did as God told him to do. Fresh water poured from the rock to quench their thirst. Now, if that rock could speak to us, it would say that God will always take care of us, even when we do not deserve it. At times, we do get whiny. When things do not go the way we want them to go, we cry out to God to help us. We may whine when we get passed over from the promotion at work, when our mom spends more time with our sisters than she does with us, when no one helps with the laundry or the dishes, and when somebody leaves their clothes all over the floor. Now, in reality, we need to be thankful that we have a job. We need to be thankful that we have a mom who loves us. We need to be thankful that we have clothes to wear and food to eat. Maybe there's someone here today who's been caught up in the woe is me cycle of life and needs to stop and thank God for all that he has provided. Criticism eats away at the soul, and the best way to get it out of it is to be thankful for all that God has done for us. Now, we cannot stop through chapter 17 of Exodus without stopping at verse 12. The Israelites were fighting the Amalekites. And I'm sure most of you remember the story. The Israelites would continue to win as long as Moses kept his hands up in the air. Now, the problem was that Moses was getting tired. He was not a young man anymore. And so they grabbed a rock for Moses to sit on so he'd have a place to rest. Now, wouldn't we love to hear that stone talk? I believe if that stone could speak, it would tell us that God will always provide for us a place to rest. He knows what we can handle. He will always provide someone to help us make it through the hard times. It may be somebody will send us a card. Somebody may be praying for us. Somebody may make a nice dinner for us. Somebody may watch our kids or go to the hospital or the doctor's office with us. God knows what we can bear. He will always provide someone to share the burden with us. He will always provide someone to be there during our difficult times. And I wonder if there's someone here today who is lonely and needs a friend but has never asked anyone for help. Maybe you feel alone in your burdens and have no one to come alongside you. There may be someone here today who knows that they are that person. There may be one here today who needs to go to someone and help them out. God is calling you to provide rest for someone else. And of course, we can't leave the book of Exodus without stopping by chapter 31. After 40 days of fasting and talking with God, the Lord gave Moses the laws inscribed with God's finger. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments to live by for his generation and for all generations. Can you imagine being those stones and feeling the finger of God writing on you? Then having God cut you out of the side of a mountain to last for all times? And if those stones could speak, I'm sure they would tell us to listen. God does not want us to get hurt. He does not want us to feel pain in our soul. And if we follow the words written on the stone, our life would be filled with happiness. There may be some here today who've gotten away from the basics. You may have forgotten those Ten Commandments given on that mountain. Now, none of you here are probably murderers, but there are commandments that you have broken, commandments that I have broken, and never asked for forgiveness. And we need to do that today. Many of you will remember those stones never made it to the people. Once Moses hit the bottom of the mountain, and he saw what the people were doing, he threw the stones and they shattered. And some of you may be like those stones, and you thought you had it all together. But somehow, in just a moment, your life came shattering apart. Do not worry. God is a God who restores things. Moses headed back up the mountain. This time he pleaded for forgiveness and for the life of the people. This time the Lord did not make it easy for Moses. It's never easy for us once we fail. In chapter 34, verse 1, the Lord told Moses that he had to chisel out his own tablets this time. And then the Lord wrote with fire the commandments on the stone. Some of you here may be like those second set of tablets. God has restored you. It may not have been easy. He had to break your pride. He had to humble you. However, now your life has been restored, and you need to step out in faith and follow his calling on your life. He's made you stronger because he has made greater things for you. But he needs to teach you to rely on him. And no rock hunt would be complete without stopping by to see Joshua in chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. They worked hard on finishing the Ark of the Covenant, and Joshua was leading the Israelites. They had to get to the other side of the Jordan. God told them to just keep on walking. Chapter 3, verse 8 reports that God told him, "Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river." We continue reading from verse 13. "As soon as the priests set foot in the Jordan, its water stopped flowing and would be cut off and stand up in a heap." God told Joshua to take 12 priests to go to the middle of the Jordan and get one large stone each to build an altar. They took the stones from the middle of the Jordan River and they made an altar for the Lord. Friends, if those stones could speak, they would tell you of the awesome power of the Lord. They would tell you that nothing is impossible with God. But there is something else that they would tell you. They would say, if you do not have the faith to step into the water will never part. Sometimes we know that we're required to do something, but when the rubber hits the road, we back off. Those stones would tell us to slow down and take time to praise the Lord. You see, the ark had made it through. The priests had walked across on dry ground, and it was time to get on with the task. But instead of moving on, the priests remained in the middle of the river during the flood stage, being on dry ground, while the others built an altar to the Lord. The priests had faith that God would protect them. And some of you today need to slow down with your busy life and take time to be with the Lord. That reminds me of another stone. Well, 5 stones to be exact. And a small little shepherd boy named David. Most of you know the story of David and Goliath. How he chose 5 smooth stones to fight a giant of a man. How he placed the stone in the slingshot and whirled it towards the giant. How the stone landed in the middle of the giant's forehead. And the giant fell. If that stone could speak, it would tell you that there are no giants in your life that you cannot defeat with God on your side. Some of you today are facing some giants in your life. You need to give it to the Lord. There are no giants too big for the Lord. And the final stone that I would like to hear talk is the ones that's found in Nehemiah 4, verses 1 through 6. Nehemiah tried to take a bunch of rubble and rebuild a wall while the rest of the world ridiculed him. Let's read together Nehemiah 4, 1 through 6. When Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall?" Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are? Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What are they building? Even a fox climbing up on it would break down their walls of stones. Hear us, O God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over to plunder in the land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or block out their sins from their sight. For they have thrown insults in the face of the builders. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height. For the people worked with all their heart." Ridicule and insults can cut deeply, causing discouragement and despair. Sanballat and Tobiah used ridicule to try to dissuade the Jews from building the wall. And instead of trading insults, Nehemiah prayed, and the work continued. You see, you can allow the insults to bring you down or to build you up. The Jewish people just worked harder. And as verse 6 tells us, they worked with all their heart. If the rocks could talk, they would say that when you are mocked for your faith or criticized for doing what you know is right, refuse to respond in the same way. Take the high road. Tell God how you feel and put it into his hands. Remember, you can accomplish anything if you only set your heart on it. Stay focused. Stay prayed up. Do not let others bring you down. If God told you to do it, nothing can stop you. And God has placed many stones in our life to encourage us, to help us, to keep us on track. Keep pushing towards the mark. And today, I barely scratched the surface of the Old Testament. Think about the New Testament. Matthew 4, verses 3 to 4, tells us about stones on the mountain of temptation. If the tempter came to him, said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And then in John 2, 6, it speaks of God's provisions, turning the first miracle into wine. Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding about 20 to 30 gallons. John 4, 6, it speaks of God's restoration of the woman at the well. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. John 8, 7, it speaks of God's forgiveness at the woman caught in adultery. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." John 11, 38 to 44, God's awesome power is to restore life. Lazarus raised from the dead. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there will be a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you will always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he said this, Jesus called in a loud name, "Lazarus, come forth." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave cloths and let him go." And then Luke 22, 41 to 44. "And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.' Then the angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And as Christ poured out over that rock, he knew what was going to happen. This Savior who had lived the perfect life never having to pay for the consequences of sin, never failing of anything the Father told him to do, never feeling the pain of hurting others with his actions. Yes, he did it all for us. He experienced all the pain, all the heartache, all the grief, everything so that you and I might have eternal life. And some still reject him as their Lord and Savior. What else did Jesus possibly do for you? Nothing. Now it's your turn to do something for him. Simply accept all that he did, and in return you will have the gift of eternal life. Deny it, you have the gift of eternal separation from God. Now the ball's in your court. What are you going to do? Maybe you're like Jacob and you need reassurance that God is a God of second chances. He loves us and he wants to bless us in spite of our imperfections. Maybe you're like the Jewish people and you are in a woe is me point in your life. You just need to stop and thank God. Maybe you're tired. You feel you can't go on anymore. You feel that you need to rest in the Lord's arms for a while. You've been fighting the battles too long. And you need to give them to the Lord. Some of you may need to be like the second set of tablets. Your walk with the Lord has been shattered, and you need to restore your walk with the Lord. Maybe you need to slow down and take time to praise the Lord. Your life is too busy for the Lord. It's been a while since you spent time with him. He's been so faithful to you. And now it's your turn. Maybe it's time to look at yourself and stop looking at others. It's so easy to see the faults in others and miss our own faults. It is so much easier to find fun, to make fun of others, instead of looking at our own imperfections. Maybe you realize for the first time that it was Jesus who poured out his heart on that rock in the garden for you. He knew the only way you could ever enter heaven was through his gift. And now, it's time for you to accept that gift. It's time for you to receive the healing that only God can give for whatever's going on in your life. The pain, the separation, the agony, the hurt. As the worship team prepares to lead us in our final song, let's just take a moment and silently search your heart. The altars are always open. And if there's any way that the pastors can pray with you, come forward and we'd be honored to join you in prayer.